Hi, guys.
Oh, my God. What are you doing here, buddy?
What are you doing here?
Oh, my God. Again?
Again? I feel like that's how we're starting every episode, because honestly, shocked that we're still doing this.
I'm shocked.
We're here again.
Again?
But welcome back to the We Sound the Same podcast. I am Sarah.
I'm Emily.
You're two hosts on this beautiful journey of self-discovery.
Yes.
Self-love, understanding.
And sounding the same beat.
Sound the same. And if that bothers you, you're going to have to get over
you
that
really
because
are.
We cannot change.
No, we can't.
What is happening.
No.
This is a thing, and that's the bottom line.
I also have to say, I'm really excited about this week's podcast episode.
Yeah.
Because it's something that Sarah and I are both, like, very, very loving. Mm-hmm. It's something we are very passionate about. And you already read the title. So today we are talking about... You think so? You think so, Nora?
Nora says, I read the title.
Disgusting. We're talking about personality tests today. Because, first of all, they're so freaking fun.
They're so fun.
I'm obsessed with them. I'm like one of those people that loves personality tests. I want to know as much about myself as possible because I just love to know things.
And who knows if like it's a real thing, you know, that like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like there's only 16 personalities. There's only 9 personalities.
Yeah.
But it's also like interesting because it helps you still see into someone else's mind a little bit.
And even your own, I feel like sometimes it can be so hard to like truly understand yourself and like why you do the things you do. And like, you know,
that's why I do it
the way you are. And I just think it's kind of interesting to like see, oh, I do relate with that. Maybe I'm this. Like, then you can find other people that kind of think the same way you do or like have. Mm-hmm. Different ways of understanding things, stuff like that. Yeah. So it's really fun. And
right. I also have found, like, depending on your personality, like, finding your type in a personality test can be really hard. Like, I'm a amniovert type of person. Like, I'm not an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. I'm very go with the flow. So for me, it's really hard on a lot of them to figure out which one I am because I'm like, I kind of relate to everyone and it's really hard. Like it took me forever to figure out my Hogwarts house. My God.
Mm-hmm. There's literally
and
four.
There's
of
four.
And they're pretty different. I think the reason is because they are so different. That's one of those ones that like, I feel like. I mean,
no one really. It's hard.
Being a Hufflepuff isn't a personality trait.
It kind of is.
Although it can be for some people, and that's sad. But moving right swiftly
God.
Away
Sarah,
from that.
You, that's you. You freaking love being a Hufflepuff.
I'm a self-proclaimed Gryffindor, and I stand by that.
Okay, that's fair.
I stand by that.
That's fair. I do have to say, the more I listen back to our podcast, the more I think I might be a Slytherin. I'm kind of a bitch. But, like, that's not here.
You sly
That's not really
bitch.
Here nor there. You know what I mean? That's, like, whatever.
Oh, my God. You know.
But I'd say we're going to go in today, and I really want to talk about... There's two I really want to talk about, which is, of course, the MBTI... Which is the Myers-Briggs, which is 16 personalities. It's like there's 16 personalities. Some of them are more common than others. It's like there's 4 letters, and for each letter, you have 2 options, and that makes 16 different possible answers for those options. And then, of course, this one is kind of new. Not new, but kind of. It's more new, in my opinion, than the personality. And the Myers-Briggs, excuse me, my mind. Mm. And it's also, like, I think it's, like, Christian-based, but I think it's really cool. And it's the first one for me that I really, like, understood it. Like, I think the Myers-Briggs is cool, but 19 personalities is kind of a lot. So having 9, I don't know. It's just, like, a little easier for me to understand. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I feel like me being into Enneagram, like, I feel like as a liberal Christian, I have to. It's kind of in my DNA. And honestly... And
so that's like, tea.
And that's tea. But basically, the Enneagram is cool because it breaks you up into 9 different types. And basically what happens is they kind of show you it's your motivations behind why you do the things you do, what motivates you, and also what are your fears and what are your, like, the motivations behind why you do things. So what you want and also what you're afraid
of. So technically, if you know someone's Enneagram, you can know why they make decisions. Like, if someone pisses you off and you're like, oh, they're this, I know why they did that.
Yeah, like they're
It's very interesting.
Losing their security, so that's why when I did this, that made them upset.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. It makes sense. Yeah. So I'd say, which one do you want to start off with? Just like going over what we are. We're not gonna go over all of the options because that would take forever. But I think we can just go over what we are and freaking tell everyone to go take theirs, because what's wrong with knowing a little bit more about yourself? That's self care. Honestly, going back to the last episode, beach.
Yeah.
Self care. Know about yourself. Care about your shit.
Honestly.
It's fun. So I already have my ENFP 16 personality pulled up right now. Do you want to start with that?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. So basically, Emily is, well, I guess you should get into yours for the Myers-Briggs.
I will say for Myers-Briggs, this is the first one. I know I said this kind of earlier, but like, this is the first one where I took mine and I have no doubt that this is what I am, because it is so accurate to me. Like, and because part of being what I am, which is an ENFP, so each of the letters do in fact mean something, but it's the E means that I'm extroverted, but the ENFPs are the most introverted of the extroverts. And a lot of times they aren't sure if they're introverted or extroverted, and I read this thing about it that was like, if you're not sure if you're an INFP or an ENFP, you're an ENFP. Because even if you have a slight doubt that you might be ENFP, like, you might be extroverted, then you're the ENFP. So anyway, I'm just gonna read this little paragraph about it, but I think it's like super interesting.
What website are you using?
16personalities.com, baby, the OG. Okay. If you're taking on that website.
Yeah, it's a very nice free quiz. It takes like under 15 minutes. So even if you haven't taken yours in a while and want to retake it and see what's up, because it can change slightly. Mine varies between 2.
Why do you think yours varies?
I don't know.
Is it because like you're sad?
I think so, honestly. Mm-hmm. I don't really know.
Interesting. So this is what mine... I'm the ENFP, which is the name of mine. They all have names. Mine is the campaigner, which I think is kind of wholesome. And, okay, so here's what it says. The campaigner personality is a true free spirit, baby. They are the life of the party, but unlike types in the explorer role group... Side note. 16 personalities, they're broken up into 4 role groups to like ones that are like similar, like ones that would vibe it out, I guess. So, and fun fact, another fun fact, everyone in our family, in my, like my mom, dad, Sarah, and me, we're all in the explorer role group.
It's true, which is kind of fun.
It's interesting.
We're also all water signs. Which is also kind of silly.
But anyway, so campaigners are less interested in the sheer excitement and pleasure of the moment when they're the life of the party than they are in enjoying the social and emotional connections they make with others. Charming, independent, energetic, and compassionate, the 7% of the population they comprise can certainly be felt in any crowd.
Oh.
We're so cute. I, like, really like it. I like, it's a good it's one. Like very me. It says campaigners are fiercely independent and much more than stability and security. They crave creativity and freedom. It's just like really cute. Like it really like matches me in my opinion. I'm going to read this sentence because I really like it. Okay. More than just sociable people pleasers, though, campaigners, like all their diplomat cousins, are shaped by their intuitive N. So the N means you're intuitive, which Sarah also has an N because she's an INFP.
Yeah.
So allowing them to read between the lines with curiosity and energy. They tend to see life as a big complex puzzle where everything is connected. But unlike the analyst personality types, which is another group of four, who tend to see that puzzle as a series of systematic, like, machines, campaigners see it through a prism of emotion, compassion, and mysticism and are always looking for a deeper meaning.
Yeah.
It, like, truly reads me for filth. Like, I find this to be so accurate. It's, like, very scary. And also, looking at career paths is also scary because it's kind of, like, what I'm majoring in. I'm going to be honest. It says, like, hold on, let me find what I really want to look.
Whoa. That was kind of good.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Oh, my God.
It says, and while thinking types may be better at applying logic to systems and machines, people with a campaigner personality are able to apply the same logic to human interactions and networks, using their exceptional social perception to find out what makes people tick. This lets campaigners to a solid foothold in any human science or service, from psychology, counseling, to teaching, to politics, diplomacy, and detective work. And then it also says, many more career options satisfy these needs, not just the scientific ones. Writing, journalism, acting, and TV reporting all give campaigners a chance to explore something new every day and stir the pot a little while they're at it.
It says that?
Yes.
Emily always be stirring that pot.
I do, baby.
You know that.
And then it says, so long as they get to use their people skills, identify and achieve their own goals, and inspire colleagues and followers, campaigners will be happy.
Oh.
Reading that makes me like, does that sound like me to you?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, the hesitation makes me want to vom. What's the bottom line?
It does sound like, it really does.
It kind of reads me for filth, like I'm going to be honest. I find it very relatable. So basically, I could read this whole thing and that would take like a half an hour. We're going to move on to Sarah's, but I just think it's so interesting to learn about yourself. And like basically every other personality test I've taken in my life, I've had to take it multiple times and question and be like, is this really me? Yeah. For this one, this one is me, and I've never changed since I took it in, like, middle school. Like, it's been the same. So, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, continue, Sarah.
So, as I was saying earlier, the 16 personality, it can, like, fluctuate.
Yeah.
At least for me. I've gone between INFP and INFJ. The perceiving and judging kind of flip-flops for me. I think depending on my, like, life situation and, like, how I'm kind of viewing everything, it can change.
Because I looked it up, and that basically means, like, perceiving is, like, judging is, like, if you want an analytical plan, and perceiving is if you want a flow.
And the thing is, I can do both.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I like when things are planned out, and other times I like being able to go with the flow and be chill.
I mean, you're definitely more of a planned person than I am.
Yeah.
Like, I really couldn't care.
Yeah. Hold on. Give me 1 second to deal with the cat. She's being a little bit of a psycho.
Oh, she's super psycho.
But yeah, so I took it yesterday in preparation for the podcast today. And I got INFP. So that's what I'm going to be reading. And I do think I am more of an INFP than an INFJ, but INFJs are kind of more like the poety, like very in their head kind of.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But also, but I can be like that sometimes. So yeah. And so basically the INFP is called the mediator. The mediator personalities are true idealists, always looking for the hint of good, even in the worst of people and events.
That makes me want to cry, like, I'm going to be honest.
Why?
I don't know.
Because that's, like, me?
It's just, like, so wholesome. They're, like, sweet little angels. Like, sweet little angel berries. I'm sorry. Oh, I need to shut up. I'm so sorry.
I literally haven't even finished the first sentence, Emily. You're like, oh, my God. Searching for ways to make things better. While they may be perceived as calm, reserved, or even shy, mediators have an inner flame and passion that can truly shine. Comprising of just 4% of the population, the risk of feeling misunderstood is unfortunately high for the mediator personality type. But when they find like-minded people to, are you okay?
No. I'm, like, dying reading this. Like, listen to you read this. It's so goddamn cute.
But when they find like-minded people to spend their time with, the harmony they feel will be a fountain of joy and inspiration.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I am. I'm not an explorer.
Yes, you are. You're green.
Oh, you're right.
Don't being be a coward.
Being part of the diplomat group.
Yes. Not an explorer. So sorry. Excuse me. Diplomat. We're diplomats.
Diplomat. Being part of the diplomat group, mediators are guided by their principles rather than by logic, excitement, or practicality. When deciding how to move forward, they will look to honor, beauty, and morality and virtue. Mediators are led by the purity of their intent, not rewards or punishments. People who share the mediator personality type are proud of this quality, and rightly so, but not everyone understands the drive behind these feelings, and it can lead to isolation.
Oh my God, that just literally read you. I'm gonna be honest. And it's so true. Like, you're just like, you just want everyone to be happy, and, like, you're so kind.
Oh, thank you. I just, like, care about my people so much that, like, you know.
Oh, my God. Do you see this? The part that says where mediators will not thrive is in a high-stress, team-heavy, busy environment that burdens them with bureaucracy.
Wait, where's that?
It says if to do or eat, as easy as to know what we're good to do. I don't know what that means. That sentence went way over my head. But it says mediators need to be able to work with creativity and consideration. High pressure salespeople, they are not.
Yeah. It says, unlike their extroverted cousin, which is Emily, mediators will focus their attention on just a few people, a single worthy cause. Spread too thinly, they'll run out of energy and even become dejected and overwhelmed by all the bad in the world they can't fix. This is a sad sight for mediators' friends, who will come to depend on their rosy outlook.
That truly, like, makes you want to die. It's the cutest thing.
Look at this. And then it says, luckily, like flowers in the spring, mediators' affection, creativity, altruism, and idealism will always come back, rewarding them and those they love, perhaps not with logic and utility, but with a worldview that inspires compassion, kindness, and beauty wherever they go.
Sarah! So cute. I'm in the career section for you. Uh-huh. And it says some mediators will still prefer a more personal touch. Being able to work face-to-face with clients, seeing their personal effort, really impacts others' quality of life. Service careers such as massage therapy, physical rehabilitation, counseling, social work, psychology, and even academic roles and retraining can be exceptionally rewarding for mediators who take pride in the progress and growth they help to foster.
Oh.
So cute.
So cute.
I would definitely recommend taking it. Please let us know when we make an Instagram post. I want you to comment your personality types because I want to freaking know. I want to know about myself, but I want to know about other people. It's so freaking interesting. And when someone that you know has the same personality type of you, it's literally like you're now brother and sister. It's so crazy how that happens.
Right.
Ancestry DNA is quaking at this brother and sister matching that happens during a personality test. But okay, I say we're pretty much done with 16 personalities, but please go take yours. It's fun. But we're just going to talk really quick about the Enneagram, what it looks like. On our Instagram, we'll put a picture of the graphs for everything so you guys can check it out, totally see what's going on. But we'll start. You can talk about the Enneagram, Sarah, because Sarah actually introduced me to it, and then I forced everyone I know at Temple to take it by gunpoint.
Yes. You laugh, but it's true.
They've been forced. No, they literally, know. Yeah.
And basically anyone I've come into contact with that hasn't taken the Enneagram, I force them to.
Yeah.
But moving on, so the Enneagram, kind of as we talked about earlier, it's a test that finds what your motivations and fears. So kind of the reason why you do the things, the reason why people do the things they do is because of their motivations and also what they're afraid of. So they'll try to go away from things that they're afraid of, but they'll also try to move towards like what they want and like their ideal kind of world, like what they strive for.
Uh-huh.
So there are 9 types, and I'll quickly read them real fast. So type 1 is the reformer. So these are like super rational, idealistic people. So it's very black and white, right and wrong.
They're like the perfectionist.
Yeah, and also like very rule follower-y. Mm-hmm. So pretty idealistic, very principled. They purposeful, they're self-controlled.
They're kind of like the politician. Like a politician kind of person would be a 1.
2 is the helper. So these people are really caring. They're like an interpersonal type. They're really generous and people-pleasing. And they can be pretty possessive. But they're all around like they want to help you. And they're very nice people. They're very much like a yes man. So you need something, they will do it for you because that's how they want you to know that they love you so that you can love them.
Yes. Basically.
The 3 is the achiever. So these are very success-oriented people. They're adaptive, they're excelling, they're driven, they're very image conscious. So they have like a goal and they will do everything to do it. So like in kind of unhealthy, if they kind of get to an unhealthy point, they can be so focused on their success and their image and what they want to do that it can like
be kind of, this is like club presidents, I think, are like the people that you know that are like wanna be leaders, wanna do this, like that kind of thing.
It's like, do you know who it is? It's freaking Aaron Burr.
Yes.
If any Hamilton people.
That's true.
And then 4 is the individualist. So these are people, they're very expressive and they're very emotional.
And they
they're
pride themselves on being unique. Like they do not want to be like everyone else. And if you tell them that it'll like that they're like normal, that'll piss them off.
Yeah. Like, so they're the people that like listen to bands that you've never heard of and things like that. Like, it can kind of look like that.
Yeah. I'm looking at this graph, and it says they're the tragic romantic.
Yeah.
And next is the 5.
5s are the investigators, so they're pretty intense, very perceptive, innovative. They can be secretive and isolated, but basically they're driven by knowledge, and they kind of want to learn more.
Yeah,
basically
they're like goal in life, not goal, but like what makes them feel like they're worthy is being knowledgeable. You know what I mean? And like they feel like they're going to be doing nothing with their lives if they don't take in and know as much as they possibly can.
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily need to be, like, complete, like, bookworms, like, hiding in their room. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, they live to know what's mm-hmm. know and know what's around them.
Yep. So then we move on to six. Six are the loyalists. They're very committed, security-oriented type.
They're, like, so, the mom friend. Do you know who's a loyalist?
Who?
Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
With her bag.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
They're like the people that are always prepared. They're like the you're randomly like, oh my god, I need a Band-Aid. And they're like, mm-hmm. girly, I got like 400 Band-Aids.
So like, and they, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good description.
Yeah. They're engaging, they're responsible, but they can be really anxious and suspicious, which is why they're kind of that. They can be perceived as his mom kind
they're of like type a questioner
because they have already thought about every
worst case scenario.
Yeah, they've already gone through all the things that could have happened and they don't want it to happen, so they're prepared for everything.
The worst.
Sevens are the enthusiasts, so these people are the ones that are always doing everything, super fun loving, spontaneous, versatile.
They're like the golden retriever of human beings.
Right. They can be kind of scattered and distracted, but they want to do everything and be with everybody, and they're amazing.
They, like, laid up a room. They're there to snap.
Yeah. Eights are the challengers, so these are, like, they're the badass, like, powerful. They can be kind of dominating. They're very confident.
They're people, direct.
Very decisive. Once they come up with an idea, that is the plan. That's what it is. They're like willful, and they're not really afraid of confrontation. So if something's bothering them, they'll let you know about
uh-huh.
it.
And every eight that I've met, like, I literally knew immediately that they were an eight. You can tell because
eights and fours.
Yeah, you can tell because they'll literally just be like, they'll tell you what it is. They're very blunt, which is honestly a really good thing, but you can freaking tell. It's kind of, it's one of those things.
I wish I could be like an eight.
Yeah.
So cool. And then finally, nine is the peacemaker. Basically, they're very easygoing, self-effacing type. They're very receptive, reassuring, agreeable, complacent. So basically, they want to make sure that everything in their life is okay. Nobody's mad at each other. And they'll kind of put their problems aside because they don't want to cause another problem. Because they kind of feel like if there's a lot going on, like, they don't want to add to any tension in their life because their goal is to make sure there's no tension mm-hmm. and no problem. So, yeah. So, going over types. So, basically, these types are kind of in a circle. And, again, we'll put an image on our Instagram.
Yeah, baby.
If you want to check that out. So, basically, each type. So, for example, if you're a five, you could be a five-wing four or a five-wing six.
Because every type has a wing. You all have wings.
Yeah. And something I actually learned recently is that the... basically, if I'm a five, I have parts of a four and parts of a six, but I have more, most times you have more of one wing. And there can be exceptions where people don't identify with their wings, and they just identify with their type. But a lot of the times you can identify more with one of your wings and your main type.
Because they do kind of, like, in ways, they're always going to kind of go together. Yeah. Like, each, like, edge of it, it truly does make sense how you could be a little of that. Like, for example, I'm a two, okay? So I'm the helper. I'm the one that wants people to care about them. So, and my wing is a three. And that's just because, like, like, that's the achiever, but it's just kind of, like, I want to, like, get stuff done, like, mm-hmm. so here's in my opinion, so the two-wing one is, like, the person at the party that's, like, in the background getting everything done, and the mm-hmm. two-wing three is, like, the hostess, like, that's the difference, but they're still twos, they're still helpers.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great example, in my opinion, of, like,
I agree.
That. And that's kind of how the wings work. It's like you're still this, but you're just that in a different way. Like a little.
And that doesn't mean that you don't have a little bit of a one.
Yeah.
Because you're a two, you can kind of go both ways. But the two, wing three. And I know there's people, like, I was talking with my friend Maddie about Jamie, who was a nine, but she has a super strong eight wing, like, very, very strong eight wing. So, it like, she can almost come off like an eight, even though she is a nine. So
she's just being an eight so that she can be a nine, and that's on period.
That's on period.
I hope this is truly making sense to people and that we explained it correctly, because this could be like the worst podcast to listen to if you're not understanding what's going on. And I'm so sorry if that's the case. I would feel so bad. I hope we explain this in a way that you guys are like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And not I'm shutting this off. This sucks.
Yeah.
Crossing my fingers and toes.
Oh, but basically, so let's get into what you kind of talked about yours.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a 6'7", which is the confidant.
Le confidant.
Le confidant. So basically, 6'7"s, their fear is losing their support system. And this may be expressed through like self-deprecating humor. And they do self-deprecating humor to seek affirmation from other people. So it's a little like, you know.
A little manipulative.
Yeah, but they love to be around people. They're afraid of losing security. They make jokes to deflect and project feelings. They seek support and assurance from others, and they value reliability and trust in relationships. So, like, I knew I was a six for a while. I thought I was a nine, but then I knew I was a six because one of my biggest pet peeves is when people, like, steal my stuff and try to be funny about it, or they go into my room and mess with my stuff without asking. One of my biggest pet peeves ever. And that's very six. Like, they have their security, and if you mess with their security, it messes them up. They get pissed. And also, like, same thing with people. Like, I have my group of people. If someone messes with one of my people, that ticks me off. You don't mess with my people. So it's kind of like that. So they lock in the people, they're like their inner circle. They lock those people in. And if you mess with their people, no girly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very, very six.
And our mom is a six too.
Yeah. My mom's definitely more of the.
She's a six wing. Do you think she's a seven? Oh, she is a seven. Yeah.
We differ because she's more. I think she's a little more worst case scenario. Like, I think about worst case scenarios, but she plans for everything. And she's one of those people that will go on a one day vacation and she brings, like, everything.
And not because, like, she's extra, it's because she's worried about it.
Because she has everything. If there's a problem, we got a baby. Like, we don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I definitely recommend finding your Enneagram.
Mm-hmm.
Take the test that can kind of help guide you. There's an Enneagram test that you can pay for, but there also are free ones online.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely take that. And if that doesn't, if when you take the test, go with your gut answer, like what first pops up.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, read about it. I recommend going to the enneagraminstitute.com. That's, like, the actual Enneagram website where you would have to pay for a test, but don't take it there.
Can I read what my two wing three says?
Yes, read it out, baby.
This is what it says.
Yeah, read it.
It says, my basic fear is being unwanted or worthless. They usually avoid this by building personal connections with others and working hard to meet the needs of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Their most basic desire is to be loved and accepted, and they may express this by being extremely attentive and attached to other people. And then the host, which is the 2-wing 3, suppress their own negative emotions, which, when done frequently, can lead to high levels of stress or unexpected outbursts.
Mm-hmm.
what? And then it says, In summary, Enneagram 2 and 3s tend to understand and attend to the needs of others, seek acceptance and accomplishment, enjoy group settings and meeting new people, which that would be me, except social anxiety.
Social anxiety.
Which, by the way, I do want to preface that it's hard, but I will say try not to let your like mental health issues, that those are separate from your personality type.
Yeah.
And they can affect them. But you have to think of it like your personality type when you're your healthiest. Because I would enjoy group settings and meeting new people, but I have social anxiety. So it's like they're fighting each other because I want to meet new people and have new friends and blah, blah, blah. But like I get stressed. But that's like my basic desire is for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it also says, repress their own negative emotions and avoid being disliked or undervalued. But, yeah. Oh, I yawned. So sorry about that, babies.
Oh, my God.
I had so much fun.
Yes. Love that. And so to finish this up, I want to talk about this Myers-Briggs test and the Enneagram correlations. So, as I said before, I had a lot of time. I just want to preface that I had a lot of time going, thinking I was between a 6 and a 9. And it says here, INFPs and INFJs, both of them, they have them listed as either a 4 or a 9. And I definitely see that because they are kind of idealistic and, like, they want everyone to be happy. But I think you could definitely get a 6 out of there, too. And then ENFPs... a 7 or a 2, which is literally Emily.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was a 7 for a really long time.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy. Anyway, I feel like I'm definitely on my Enneagram kick, and I post about it all the time on my Instagram story. Probably pisses off my followers, so sorry about that. But also not sorry, because there's some good accounts that I follow, so you better follow them.
Yeah, baby.
You better do it. You better do it.
You better, bitch.
Any takeaways from this episode and talking about this, Emily?
I just think it's so cool. And, like, some people don't like personality tests, but I think what's the harm in knowing a little bit more about yourself? Because it really, like, knowing yourself is so hard. And, like...
It really is. And it sounds silly.
And when you're in, like, bad spaces, like, it's kind of good to be able to know why. And, like, for me, the Enneagram shook me. It was the first one where, like, I cared not only about mine, but, like, I really, like, when someone said what theirs was, I got it. Like, and it's pretty easy to remember. It's only 9.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of be like, oh, my God. Like, if someone was mean to you, it's like, oh, my God. Like, they didn't think they were being mean to me. They're a 3.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's just like, or like they're an 8. And it's like, it just helps you to understand people because people aren't trying to go after each other and be malicious all the time. And like knowing about why people are making decisions that they make or why this person was so affected by something, it like really helps you to understand the people around you. And I think it's like really cool.
Yeah, it's honestly really
cool. I like really like it. And also, if you know your Enneagram type, listen to the Sleeping At Last songs on Spotify because they this band made a song for each Enneagram type that's supposed to like relate to them. And the one that's a 2 makes me cry.
Yeah, my favorite song is the 2.
It's a good song.
It's so beautiful.
But yeah.
But yeah, so that's this episode about personality types. Sorry, it's a little on our longer side, on the longer side of
it's
things.
It's kind of wordy. I hope you guys really like it. I had so much fun personally. Like, I think these are so interesting.
Like, I just love them. Fun.
I love them so much.
Seriously. For sure, we are.
But yeah, I guess we're frickety done. So thank you guys so much for listening again to another episode of We Sound the Same. I'm Emily.
And I'm Sarah.
And we hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Let's do a chef's kiss. Bye.
Bye.